This is the good daylight savings time because theoretically you get more sleep. And I was telling Laurent this morning, this is the only day when you try to be 15 minutes late to church and you end up being 45 minutes early. If you see, one thing I learned, and then I'm hearing this about dogs too, but children don't follow the rules of daylight savings time. They don't wait until the time it's actually supposed to be, but the sun is up, so they're up. And so if you see our son, Samuel, he's got his cowboy Woody costume on and his fireman costume. That's not because we were running late and we threw that on him. He's like six outfits into the day already with just different ideas. So now I think he's Woody the fireman. So he loves Cowboy Woody from Toy Story. We were at Disneyland a couple of months ago, and we had you know, an infinite amount of money to burn, so we went to Disneyland. And so when we were there, you know, they had these boardwalk games in California Adventures, and they're you know, the games that you see at fairs where you throw a softball at milk jugs and things like that, and you know, they're always rigged, but it's Disneyland. It can't be rigged, right? So we play this one. We look up, and it's kind of at the end of the boardwalk. We see this game where it's horses kind of going down a track. It's a horse racing game, and you get these little wooden balls, and you kind of roll them up this spot, and you try to get them into certain holes. And the farther the hole is away, the faster the horse goes. And the prize at the end of this is a medium-sized Cowboy Woody stuffed doll. And I say medium, there weren't any larger ones, but I just figured they could have gone bigger, right? So medium-sized, and so I look at this, and Sam being such a fan of Cowboy Woody, I said, we gotta have this. And I think I wanted it more than Sam. For Sam, of course, unless he goes to sleep, and then I'll play with it. But, we have to have this thing, and so you load up cards that you put money on a card and then you kind of slide it through the machines, I'm sure that means you're going to be spending more money on it because you don't think it's real money or something. I don't know what the thinking is, but they're smart at that park, I've found. Anyway, I slide my card in and I play the first round, and okay, so it's not a beginner's luck kind of thing because I lose the first round, and that's fine. You know, I'm learning the ropes, and second time's a charm. No. Third time's maybe the charm. Fourth time, no. And after a while, I start playing with real money here. And I start to get a little bit angry about it. And Sam comes up and he says, Daddy, can I play? And I go, no, Daddy's working. Because I got to win this thing, you know. And because I'm a man, I'm not going to walk away. I'm going to leave with this thing or be bankrupt in the process. Both are real options at this point. So, after a while, my card runs out of money, and I walk away to fill up the card again. And so I put more money on this thing, and now I start to think about it. I walked away, and I said, you know, I've already spent enough money to actually cover this prize if I would have just bought it at a store. But really, that's not the point anymore, is it? And I said, you know, I'm playing a lot. Now it's time to start playing smart. I got to come up with a strategy. And so I start to kind of pick the games that I think maybe I can win. I look at the pool of players and I look for the sort of shallow end, you know? And so I'm looking for the players who I might be able to beat here. So I'm watching for the family that they're not walking over, they're sort of kind of systematically falling over their feet and they step up to play and I think, great, I have a chance in this one. Or I'm looking for like the teenage girl who's on her cell phone so much that she won't even look up to play the game, and I know I have a chance in these moments. And after probably the 10th time I lost, I start to think maybe all of my notions of what makes a good player, the marks of a true player here, are way off. And so I change my strategy entirely to whining and manipulating. And so here's what I do. I kind of take Sam with me because he's cute. And I go to the front of the line when there's a quiet moment, and I go to the carnival barker, and I kind of just, oh gosh, you know, we've been playing this game all day now, and the poor pastor is bankrupt, and, you know, we just have to win this. Sam, you love Woody, don't you? Oh, Woody, you're the best, aren't you? And And Sam's kind of looking up, and the guy kind of looks around, and he says, I'll tell you what, you two sit here, and if nobody comes up immediately, I'll close the game, and just the two of you can play together here. And so Lauren knows what her role is in this moment, and that's to run interference. And so what she's doing is blocking off the kind of pathway with our big stroller. She's sort of pushing it along. And if people are going to get into her way, that's perfect. She's done her job, right? And so, you know, just as somebody's about to sort of break the interference line, the guy sees somebody's coming up, and he says, okay, no more players. And so Sam and I are the only ones competing. And boy, it was a heated competition for last place. And it was probably the longest time that this game has ever gone on. But eventually, one of us won this thing. And it was so exciting. And we came home with this thing. And you know, the more you spend, the more kind of time you spend on it, the more it's beloved, right? Well, maybe not, because if you kind of divide the amount spent on it versus number of times played with it, we're looking at about $30 a play time at this point for this toy. But I will tell you this, one day Sam brought it to church, and that was awesome because I got to count Woody as part of our Sunday attendance, and it boosted things. This is our celebration of All Saints Day. It's been an insanely busy weekend, hasn't it? But now we come together and we celebrate All Saints Day. You know, we've got these saints on our calendar that we celebrate, and we have feast days for them throughout the year, and some people do it, some people don't. But today is sort of that catch-all for those saints that we don't recognize on the calendar to honor their faith and what they've done as witnesses to Jesus in their lives. And it's a very, very confusing celebration. I think the saints thing has gotten very confusing for a lot of people. At the very least, we can say that even at the time of Jesus and right after, those apostles were marked as holy people because they had been with Jesus. That's a line that comes up over and over in Acts, that people knew that they had been with Jesus. And they knew that they had been with Jesus because they were doing remarkable things. Not because they were extremely talented, but God anointed them for particular ministries. Maybe they prayed with urgency and fervency for God to heal certain diseases. Maybe they got up and these folks that were illiterate spoke with such great eloquence the things of the kingdom of God that people's lives were transformed. Maybe they were such remarkable sinners beforehand, and now they turn their life over to Jesus and they acted differently. And people knew that they had been with Jesus. And because evil is so rampant in our world, the enemy of God sought to destroy these men and women that spoke for Jesus. And we have this serious season of persecution for centuries as people bled and died for their faith. You know, they spoke out knowing that if they were to be courageous, they were to be killed for it. And people started to die for their faith. And so, you know, they were remembered on certain days because they had been with Jesus. And so on the anniversary of their death, people would sort of celebrate their life. Not because they worshipped these people, but because they pointed to Jesus. And I think that's the key for our understanding here. Is that a real saint, a true saint, would not want us to focus on them, but to turn our eyes to Jesus instead. If we're looking at a saint and venerating a saint, the saint themselves would say, no, not me, but Jesus. And this is where things start to get kind of confusing, because over time, saints become big business. If you had a shrine to a saint, or somebody happened to have their remains there, that's big business. People came for pilgrimages. They came to experience that blessing that Jesus had poured out on this person, even in their death. And so people came and visited. And like any kind of visiting, whether it's at a shrine or at Disneyland, you come home with souvenirs. And so people would gather shells or special rocks, or certain merchants would make souvenirs for this. And the relics got strange over time, and and people would come and visit St. Swithin's big toe and things like that, and it became this very strange phenomenon. And after a while, you kind of have to look at it and say, who are we praying to? Just who are we worshiping? And this is key, that we remember that the saints themselves would want us not to focus on them, but to focus on Jesus, the one who anointed them, who gave them the marks of true sainthood. And that's what I want to talk about today, the mark of true sainthood. In our gospel today, Jesus gives this list of blessings. He's speaking to the disciples. He just called them. We get the list of disciples just before this. He just calls the disciples, and then he walks up and he stands up and he heals. And the disciples stand with him and experience these healings of the people around them. And then he turns to the disciples and he says, you're blessed when you're hungry now. You're blessed when you weep now. You're blessed when you go through all sorts of troubles for my name. And this very strange statement of blessing that Jesus makes when he says, you are blessed when people hate you, when you're persecuted, when you're beaten up, when you're ridiculed, when you're killed for my name's sake. Remember, these disciples had just been called, and Jesus is already announcing that they will be going through trouble. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. But in this world, all sorts of trouble will follow you. And that's because evil hates what Jesus is doing. And evil hates what Jesus' disciples are doing. And so they will go through all of this trouble and persecution. But he says, rejoice when that's happening because you are filled with the Holy Spirit. You are answering Jesus' call, and clearly you look like Jesus because you have been with Jesus. You have the mark of true sainthood. And I've been thinking about what that means this week when I've been reading in my daily Bible reading, and I'm right at the start of Mark, which is a hard book to read for me. I like the poetry and prose, and Mark is all about action. Mark is a gospel of action, which is why you hear this word over and over immediately. Jesus is moving with such speed that Mark's only word to describe it is immediately. And on the second day that Mark is chronicling Jesus' life, Jesus enters the synagogue. And he comes in and he's teaching and he's preaching, and it's on the Sabbath day, and he stands up and he sees a man out there who is demon-possessed. And this man who's demon-possessed stands up and he confronts Jesus. What he says is key here, because the demon speaks through him. And the demon says to Jesus, what are you doing here, Jesus? Are you here to interfere with us? I think the language is key. Because when you really think about it, isn't that exactly what Jesus' entire ministry is all about? Interfering with evil. Jesus came into this world as a light in the darkness to consume the darkness, to interfere with the devil's plans. And no one has more to lose with Jesus being here than the devil himself, who oppresses the people with sin and temptation and holds them and holds dominion over them and offers them a godless eternity. But when Jesus comes into the world, he interferes with that plan, to the degree that he would die on a cross so that we might have a Christ-full eternity, that we might be with God forever, that we might be called his children and the saints of God. And if we really want to look like Jesus, if we really want people to know that we have been with Jesus, we need to participate in that same plan, which means that the true mark of sainthood is that we interfere with evil. If we want to be like Jesus, we need to participate with him. We need to act like him. And we need to go into the dark places with our candlelight. You know, God gave us the light not to keep us warm, but to also go out into the world and consume that darkness in Jesus' name with Jesus' power. The true saints of God don't just shine the light for themselves, but go out and consume the darkness by interfering with evil. If it's true that no one has more to lose, no one terrifies the devil more than Jesus Christ because he interferes with evil, so should be the same about us. Saints of God are those who interfere with evil. If you consider the saints in your own life, those who prayed for us, who showed us Jesus, who witnessed his love and encouraged us, that cloud of witnesses that we all have over us in our own lives, these are the men and women that interfered with evil plans. They entered in and brought God's light and brought God's glory and brought destruction to the kingdom of the devil. And the saints of God are those who interfere with evil plans. We sing this goofy, fun little song about, sing a song of the saints of God today. And there's a line in it where it talks about, Lord, help me to be one too. If you want to be one too, the key to everything here is that by the power of the Holy Spirit and joining alongside with Jesus, your job is to interfere with the evil all around you. And so I ask you, what is it that you are doing in Jesus' power to interfere with evil? What are you doing to stop the advance of the kingdom of evil, this kingdom that the devil runs? How are you putting a stop to evil with Jesus Christ? And what is God inviting you to do to be interferers against evil? Lord, help me to be one too. And if that's our call, how will we walk alongside with Jesus to be interferers of evil? Let's pray. Lord, the task seems heavy before us, strange and mysterious, but you are the great I Am. Nothing is impossible for you. And the devil shakes in his boots when you are near. So be near to us, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Kindle in us the desire to advance your kingdom. Lord, strengthen us. Anoint us. Encourage us to follow your lead. So that the world might see us and know that we have been with Jesus. And that we might look like him by participating in his ministries. Lord, this takes major and powerful equipping from you. And we will not take a step forward until you fill us anew. Lord, we pray that your kingdom would advance. And all we ask, Lord, is that we could participate with you, to point to you, to fix our eyes on you, by your power and your strength. we might interfere with the kingdom of the devil. That you would advance and that you would overcome. And that every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. All to your glory. All to your power, Lord. And in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen.